like the mighty Megalodon biting into the biting into the backbone of a sperm whale. We are Rancor's Brothel. That's my new tagline.
I do. Topical. Very topical.
Are you recording?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, great.
Engage.
The Rancor's Brothel. Great Scott.
Get off my plane.
Hello, and welcome to issue number 54 of the Rancor's Brothel. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
We did something cool this weekend. Now, first of all, sorry for not being here last week. It was Memorial Day weekend.
We were drinking.
Water. I got a little silly.
On water.
Yeah, right. So, I totally got complimented on my drinking by my wife on race day. Because of something about my body being able to sleep now using my BiPAP. She's like, not only did you not lose control after 24 beers, you helped clean up. And not like a drunk randomly throwing things at trash cans. Like, I packed up the canopy, and I closed the garage down, I swept.
It's impressive.
I know!
It was just, it was so warm out, it felt like you were just sweating the booze out.
Oh, see, on the contrary, I feel like I can only get a good beer buzz going if it is hot.
Mm.
In the wintertime, when I drink beer, I don't feel it. But man, in the summertime, I feel like I'm sweating all the water out, and I'm just like concentrated beer in me.
Hmm. Interesting. Say, for me, it's just like I just sweat it right out.
Well, that's just silly. I'm going to go ahead and say, due to a previous conversation we had before recording today, that the Lord hates you drinking, Cody.
It is true. I pay quite dearly for it.
My God.
It's my Catholic ancestors or something. Maybe I'm paying a price for something.
I'm currently actively Catholic.
It's something I've done horrible. I'm mean to people. Maybe this is like karmic retribution.
No, you're really not. You're a pretty nice guy.
There are people out there laughing now who are listening to this show.
Jesus. Okay, so sorry about Memorial Day weekend. Race weekend here in Indianapolis. We had a delicious little chicken fry and beer pong and all sorts of fun gambling. You won the race pool.
I did indeed. I did. I immediately went out and bought X-Men First Class on Blu-ray with that $20. So,
well, there you go. Good job.
I was all prepped for Days of Future Past that we watched the next day, which is awesome, but we're not going to talk about because Matt hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, just like The Abyss.
Aww.
Or Blade Runner.
You've never seen Blade Runner?
No. Because I know the ending, so it's fucking pointless.
Oh. That's sad. That's a really good movie.
Yeah, somebody ruined it for me in like 1991, and I was like, well, fuck that.
It's funny. Since we're going to talk about PopCon, I was talking to somebody about a Star Trek episode that my father ruined for me, because we were watching it on tape at my grandmother's house, and he was like, I know the ending to this. I was like, no, don't tell me, because I want to watch it. So he wanted me to go home. So he's like, this is what happens, and then Kirk creates a gun out of a piece of, this piece of tubing and some rocks and stuff, and he kills Gorn. I'm like, no, he doesn't. I'm like, oh, yeah, he does. Damn it, Dad. You ruined it.
That's funny. Wah, wah. This weekend, where'd we go, Cody?
This weekend, we attended Indie PopCon at the convention center.
We did, and it was super fucking cool.
It was indeed.
Now, you did the 3-day pass, right?
I did.
Did you go back Sunday?
I did indeed.
So what? I mean, I was there for a day, and I was done.
Right.
What did you do for 3 days?
Okay, well, okay, first off, we said we were going to do this. We say we do this before every episode. And before you get too far, let's thank Ian Shannon. Ian Shannon, my buddy, the music guy. He's the one who's recorded our new intro, and we love it. So I'll plug him here for just a minute. If you guys like it, he makes a lot of music like this. He works in Nashville as an audio engineer and a musician. So check out migrantaudio.com or Sleep for the Weary on Facebook. His first album is called Into and Out From, and generally Ian's awesome. You are a pretty cool guy. So there's your commercial for this week's episode of Rancor's Brothel.
Thank you, Ian Shannon. Okay, PopCon, what the fuck did you do for 3 days?
Well, like,
did you move faster than our friend Lucas?
Yes.
Who at the end of one day made it a quarter of the way through all the aisles?
Yeah. My general con strategy, because this is my third convention, is I usually buy, so I'll be there for the extent, and I took Friday off, so we got there as soon as it opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of – the first thing Ambrosia and I did, we walked in and we just walked up and down every aisle, noting here's where the artists are, here's where this booth is, here's where this booth is. Oh, we should look at that. And that process actually, because of how big it was, took hour and a half maybe, like just to walk and see where everything was, pick through a few things. Then Friday, because it was so dead, I went and got a lot of stuff signed. So there weren't – like you said, you waited in line for 2 minutes with Kevin Eastman. Like, I just walked right up and it was like, oh, hey, sign my stuff.
I waited in line 2 minutes because he was in the bathroom and there was already a kid there.
Nice. Yeah, no, that was great about it. But I went and got Norm Brayfogel to sign a bunch of my Batman stuff, Ben Temple Smith, whose art I love, 10 grand, 30 days of night, and I got his trade paperback Fell. So that's what I did kind of the first day, the stuff that you would normally have to wait in line for, because I assume Saturday you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the 24-hour gaming section. So each evening as it started to close, a group of my friends and I, we'd go to the Hoosier Gamers table, and you can basically – they loan you games to play. So you give them a shoe or your, you know, license or something, and then they'll let you borrow a game. And so we did that every evening.
Huh. Like, so what kind of games did you get through?
Oh, we played Sorrow of the Seas, which is a tile placement dragon and boat game that's kind of fun. What else did we play? Lock and Key, which is based on the comic book. It's kind of a card trading game. We played Unspeakable Words, which we bought. It's kind of like Scrabble with a Cthulhu bent to it. That's interesting. What else did we play? Oh, Snake Oils. That's a game I think you would really like. You have a set of cards that each person ends up picking up at various points. Each round, someone draws a card and it tells them, like, maybe they're an astronaut or they're a mortician or they're a runaway child. And then everyone else gets these random cards with,
murder weapons?
No, not quite.
Just kidding. I was just thinking of runaway children.
You get things like lightning, boat, just like random nouns and adjectives. And then every person in the game has to use those cards, combine two, to come up with a product that you are going to sell to that person in a 30-second pitch.
Okay.
It sounds ridiculous, but I'm trying to think. Like, for example, at one point a woman was playing a runaway, and so I played the Urge Box for when you need to go outside and you don't want to get arrested, you buy the Urge Box. It's ridiculous.
What's an Urge Box too? I'm sorry.
I'm assuming that you poop in it. It's for your urges.
Oh, can you fuck it too?
I mean, I guess.
Because that's the only kind of urge I have. I'm just kidding. I have other urges.
You just get random things, throw them together, and, you know, basically you're trying to, you know, like a snake oil salesman, sell them some ridiculous product. So you have like 2 minutes to look at these words and come up with something that you could conceivably sell to whoever that person is that round.
Oh, see, that sounds kind of fun. That sounds like a good writing exercise, really.
Yeah, a little bit, because it's just random. Like I said, the Urge Box. What else did I come up with? I like that one. I also came up with, somebody was a mortician, and I came up with beard paint. It's for when you shave them too close and their hair won't grow back, so you got to fill it back in with paint.
I think it's a real product that bald men buy.
Beard paint, probably.
Well, for their head, but yeah.
Yeah.
Pop quiz, who is Jamie King?
Jamie King?
Yeah, have you ever heard of Jamie King?
No. Don't think so.
All right, not downloading that episode of The Nerdist. Thank you. just sorting through something. Give you a clue. It's my podcast app. Okay, so you've gotten through the evenings. You've told me what you did Friday. All day Saturday, I'm assuming you just walked around and people watched and checked out the shit you didn't have time for on Friday because you were busy getting a lot of buying art.
Yes, I did. I bought the, as I showed you earlier, I think I'll post it on the brothel page because it's kind of neat. The original, I got an original Norm Brayfogel piece that he both penciled and inked, which is pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I thought a fair price at $75, considering I looked at Kevin Eastman's. I think the cheapest was $4,000, so I can't really afford that one.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know, right? He was explaining to someone about the quality of the paper, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Eastman, I cannot afford $4,000.
Yeah, maybe if I didn't go to that last year of college, I could have saved that money for you, sir. But unfortunately, graduation was important.
Well, obviously, we can chat about the Follow Network's panel. That was Saturday.
Oh, fuck that. I want to know what else you bought.
Oh, you want to know what else I bought?
I bought a $4 orange soda. It was delicious.
What else did I buy? I bought...
Go ahead.
There was a guy selling, and I'm sad that you left. You had already left by the time I found this guy. Guy selling buy two trades, get one free.
Oh, yeah?
So I bought Infinity Gauntlet, the next volume I needed of Preacher, which I think is 6, and then Saga Volume 2 for my wife so she can catch up on Saga.
Cool. I as well bought something for my wife. I bought a print of Bunsen and Beaker dressed as Batman and Robin.
That was really cute.
Yeah. She's a Batman thing and a Muppet thing, so it worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. I also was able to complete a small run of Star Wars, Marvel Star Wars.
Good.
So I'm up through issue 16, and then I also have the bookend piece. I have issue 107, the last issue.
Nice.
Which is the second most expensive book, so that was Natalie's. Natalie bought that for me, so thank you, dear.
Nice.
I got only thing I brought with me to be signed, and I was so excited to find out Eastman wasn't charging. Like,
yeah.
You know, here, like, so here's the whole story, I guess. A friend of mine from work, her husband, takes figures, breaks them apart and puts them back together in weird ways,
mm-hmm.
and then repaints them. So, like, he had for sale, like, a clone trooper on the Abomination's body.
Oh, okay.
Clone trooper head. And a really cool Orko from He-Man, just the head on top of Skeletor's body and then painted.
Nice.
Actually looked neat. And a lot of stuff like that. And then he also had some more just like regular collectibles. Like, he had the, Line One. He had Django from the Django Unchained movie.
Uh-huh.
Which was pulled from the shelves within a week of release. So they're worth quite a bit. So I found him and was talking to him for a little bit and just chit-chatting and, you know, checking in on his wife. And I was like, well, okay, I'll see you later. I'm going to bring some friends back because, I, you know, Lucas was with us. He's quite the artist, and I want to show off the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I turn around, and there's Kevin Eastman. I figured he'd be on the far wall with all the signature people because it's like they had a red Power Ranger over there. And I'm like, Kevin Eastman's way more famous than a red Power Ranger from 10 years ago. But no, he was just sitting, his booth was right there. I was like, oh my God. So I go up to it. I was like, how much are signatures? And she said, Kevin will sign 3 things for free. I was like, can my penis be one of them? Please. Cause I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan and always have been. And, so I whipped out issue number 4 of the original Mirage run of Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
And like the person in front of me in line was pulling out, not the newer stuff that Eastman's been working on, but just some Ninja Turtle, you know, paraphernalia.
Right.
And was getting him to sign it. And I was like, I have something you made. And had him sign it. So, like, fuck $4,000 for an original piece of artwork. I had an original piece of artwork.
Yeah.
You know, newspaper print. And that was just so fucking cool. And that was like, we got there at like 10, and that was like by 11.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had the rest of the day to fuck around. And it turns out that pinched nerve in my back is really pissed off when I walk really long ways. And, like, through a cloud of pain, I opened my eyes, and there was the massage people. So I went and got a chair massage.
There you go.
Yeah. And it was a really good time. I can't – how lucky I was to find Star Wars books, Marvel Star Wars. I probably got the equivalent of – I think I got about $120 worth of comics. And I paid 12.
Yeah. No, it was
so,
it was
that
great.
Was a good day.
It's a great show. I mean, it was fantastic. That was one of the things I was going to say is real feature of this show is that normally that kind of stuff, conventions, signatures, stuff like that, you have to pay for them, you know?
And, yeah. And like you had like $30 to get Hodor's autograph, you know, that was the thing going on. So
but for a lot of the artists and stuff, they just had them in there among local artists, so it was truly an artist's alley, and they had no problem signing things. I mean, I got probably 15 to 18 books signed, I think. And everybody was just like, oh no, I'd love to sign it. That'd be great. I'm so glad you enjoy it. And I'm sure you have that same moment I do where you're just like, I know you hear this all the time, but I love your stuff. It's so
like,
good.
I'm so happy you're a real person.
And I must say, Kevin Eastman is fit. That guy,
this fucker, was ripped.
He really was.
Tribal tattoos all up and down his arms.
Yeah,
kind of scared of him.
A little bit. The only person I was more impressed with fit wise was
Chick McGee.
No, not quite.
But Chick McGee from Bob and Tom Show is like 200 pounds lighter than the last time I saw him. So kudos to you, Chick McGee.
Good job, sir. But no, did you see Ron Glass from Firefly?
No.
Oh, he was back there in the corner amongst the signatures book, a booth, which of course Firefly is what, 10 plus years old? And I'm like, so this guy's probably pushing late 60s, maybe a little older. And I was like, dang, this guy looks like he could, you know, just 30 push-ups right now on the floor like it's nothing. It's like
mm-hmm.
half the people at this convention couldn't do five. He was in shape. It was impressive. Red Power Ranger did look like he was juicing a little bit, though. But
well, that will happen. You know who else was very fit?
Hmm.
D from Battlestar Galactica.
Hmm.
Because I ran into her. It kind of knocked her back. She was wiry.
Oh, yeah.
She's tiny, though. She came up to my fucking nipples. What's just an itty-bitty thing.
What's ridiculous, though, is so I was there on Friday. There was no one in any of those lines. Like, Ambrosia recognized a few of the people for the signatures lines, and she's like, do we have to pay or something? She asked the security guard. He's like, I don't know. Just go ask. So we talked to a bunch of people. We didn't pay for anything. No signatures, no photos. But it was just cool to be able to meet, you know, some of those people who have made slight to, you know, moderate influences on people's lives.
It likens back to when we went to Walker Stalker Con and meeting Nestor Carbonell.
Mm.
He was just such a sweet dude. And because we had the VIP passes during the VIP time, we were able to just go up and talk to him and interview him. And same with the guys from Comic Book Men. And it was just really just awesome to do that. Like, not be a fanboy and try to buy stuff, but just talk to him and meet him and see what he's like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a good bit of time chatting to Norm Breyfogle because he was – the other thing they did, which I found out, did you see any of the artists say – have little signs that said, like, free head sketches or something?
Mm,
I was asking Breyfogle because I'm like, your art, you know, he made a good contribution to Batman stuff in the 90s and still works today. It's like, your art sells. Like, why would you be giving away free head sketches? And he looked at me and he said, the convention is paying me to do that. And I was like, are you serious? So they did a lot of stuff, I feel like, on the front end to make a better product for us con-goers on the back end.
So instead of like Indiana Comic Con where there was a lot of high-priced signatures, these guys got paid by the con to just do the extra, huh?
Exactly.
That's awesome. So PopCon was a pretty – what would you like better, Comic-Con or PopCon?
Well, I appreciate Comic-Con for what it did because even though they were only a couple months apart, it definitely surged. I feel like PopCon was better because Comic-Con came first. You know what I'm saying?
Compare the two for me, like size-wise and we'll say population.
Well, see, that's the hard thing to gauge is that I would like to see the actual numbers side by side when they reveal what came out because Comic-Con felt so packed, but it was only in like hall. It wasn't even in that same hall, but it was like half the space of the vendor floor.
Oh.
So, I mean, I think it was 100,000 square feet and it wasn't set up very well.
Like we had hall IJ and K or something or HIJ or something like that. We had three.
Yeah, no, I noticed in their publicity stuff after Comic-Con, it grew in size by square feet to be more than double what Comic-Con was. And I think that's because so many people were so irritated at how packed Comic-Con was. It wasn't that it was a bad convention. I just think that they had no clue that you were going to get, you know, X thousand number of people showing up. Because, I mean, imagine, like I said, the same sort of stuff but crammed into half the space. I don't think numbers-wise that it's going to come out that one was greater, one was lesser. Somebody was saying to me, oh, well, PopCon didn't do very well because there were less people. I said, no, I think it probably did the same because there was more space. There weren't as many lines. There were more things to do. You didn't have to – I mean, you were digging through a long box with two or three other guys like eight deep at Comic-Con. That didn't happen at PopCon at all.
Yeah. There was one time where a guy was going through the S's when I wanted the S's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just walked around for a minute and came back. That was it.
Yeah. No, and it was – like I said, I think Comic-Con did a fair job, but I think if the two of these groups continue to improve on what the past one has done, then we're going to be into some great, great nerdy conventions for Indianapolis.
I want Natalie to go next year. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's so much fun.
But I want to do another panel next year because then you get in for free. So I'm going to be paneling it up anywhere I can.
Is that panel going to be released on Follow Networks or Mad Chatter?
It was released today. It got released on the Instant Film Review pod line.
Gotcha.
So if you go to iTunes and search Instant Film Review or Follow Networks, that's where you'll find it. That was just a fluke. It's a little intro by me and Chad, and then it's our discussion after the panel. Back in my garage drinking, and then it's the panel itself.
Nice.
So the panel, the audio was, not the crispest, but it works.
No, and I recommend anybody who's interested, because Follow Network's concept was to write a comic book on stage, so it was a lot of brainstorming. I know I was writing rapidly, ideas were being thrown back and forth, and
And God bless you for that, sir. You're better than a PowerPoint presentation, I'll tell you that. I say that right now.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully that those notes are at least legible, because my handwriting kind of sucks, but... No, it was cool to be in that collaborative environment, and I think people who are listening to our podcast or other Follow Networks podcasts, if you're interested in being involved, the kind of discussion we had at PopCon is exactly the kind of discussion we want people bringing to the table for creativity and so forth. So
absolutely, and I'll tell you what, afterwards, like when we got back to the house and started eating and drinking, it was like I was high. Like podcasting is great because the format, and really, I started podcasting as a format to try to tell jokes, to see what would work, so that maybe someday I'd have the balls to get on a stage and do it. And so while we happened to be on a stage, I told some jokes, and I just things I worked into the conversation, and people fucking laughed. It was amazing. It turns out I was a little funny.
This is true.
That was great.
No, I think that, and if anyone actually is listening to this podcast because of PopCon or the panel, welcome, because that was cool, and we appreciate you being here.
Welcome to the family. What I really loved about the whole experience of doing our first panel was right before us was Joel Hodgson from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Uh-huh.
And so the doors were shut. That was a VIP-only thing. And so we were waiting for them to let out. And so we're just kind of milling about outside of our room that that our panel was in. And there's a grouping of maybe 10 rooms for different panels. So there's a lot of people kind of milling about waiting for the next panels to come on. And so we're out there talking, having a good time. And there's a lot of folks. And then the door opens and those guys come out. So then our group starts to walk towards the door and I get separated because I realize the people walking in front of me aren't people I already knew. And I was like, fucking people are coming. Oh my God. And then, we did our panel and it was quite successful. And, we got some great ideas and some good contacts. And, now we're making another comic that's really ridiculous, but you'll have to listen to the Instant Film Review episode to find out what it's about. Cause it's ridiculous.
I think the Joel Hodgson backwash that Chad was drinking really...
That was me.
Oh, that was you?
That was me. Because I would sip it and I'd be like, oh my God, I feel 10% funnier. He's a part of me, but I don't think I got recorded.
No, I don't think so.
That was before we started the mics.
Yeah.
That was like the best fucking humor. I feel like talking to tiny robot puppets. Oh my God, it's taking over me.
And this will make your day just a little bit brighter. I actually got recognized later in the day. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, did you run that comic book panel? And I was like, yeah, I was part of that.
Oh, that's great, man.
I would have stopped and had a conversation with him, except for the fact that this was at the after party, and it was really, dropping the bass at that point. So
when you were with DJ D20?
Yeah. So he sort of screamed into my ear the question, and I kind of nodded. So I believe he was wearing a Boston Red Sox hat. So, dude, if that was you and you're listening, awesome. Like us on Facebook.
I really wish Springfield would have gave me his contact information. You'll understand that when you listen to the panel, but this was an artist that felt like his friends never give him actual criticism of his artwork. Yeah. When he needs it, the feedback to make it better.
Yeah.
He just feels like all of his friends are like, oh, that's nice. And I was like, dude, send it to me. I'll tell you if it sucks or not. I asked him to give me his contact information after the panel, and he left. So I don't think he liked me. But I mean,
came on too strong.
I did. I brought it. I brought the thunder.
But I would like to correct you. It was not DJ D20, but in fact DJ Hodor, and it was awesome.
No, his DJ name is DJ D20.
Is that really what he calls himself?
Yes.
Really?
That's his DJ name. Hodor really? Is DJ D20, and I don't know if you know this, Game of Thrones fans. He has a fucking facial tattoo.
He does.
He has shooting stars over his eye. It's fucking weird.
But let me tell you, since you weren't at the after party, so they had 5-year mission, which is a, have you seen them before?
No, I don't get out.
Well, 5-year mission may not either, but they play all the cons, and they're very funny. So they're a Star Trek-themed band.
Mm-hmm.
That has written a song for every episode of the original series.
Nice.
So they dress up as the characters, and they have, like, the Trouble with Tribbles song. And, you know, they have a song called, like, you know, the Naked Time. You know, these original, the Glass Menagerie, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
So they played, and they had the projectors going of, like, music videos that they had made from clips of the original show. So, like, they would loop, you know, video of, like, Spock, so it looked like he was miming along with the words a little bit, or, you know, back and forth, and double vision and stuff, and it was kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with their work, because I was never a con goer. Like, I always just thought of myself as a casual nerd, and I was like, I'm not going to pay money to go watch a bunch of freaks dress up, like, what the fuck for? And then, you know, we went to Walker Stalker Con, and it was awesome. And so I got kind of excited about Comic-Con and PopCon, but I couldn't make it to Comic-Con. So when this opportunity arose to come to PopCon, I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And like, so I spent all day Saturday wandering around feeling at home. It was weird.
Oh, the convention was great, but
such an experience.
Everyone in my group said basically the same thing, because all the whole group that I went with also went to Gen Con last year. And mm-hmm. We all looked at each other and were like, well, this is a pretty good warm-up to Gen Con. No offense to PopCon people, because it was freaking amazing. But Gen Con is just stupid huge, and it's ridiculous. And PopCon was great. I hope it gets to that level. But, it, you know, right now it can't possibly compare, because it's so big. Well, that
see, I won't go to Gen Con because I don't give a fuck about gaming.
Oh, man. It's special. That whole area.
If you're into that shit, right?
But see, that's the thing with Gen Con is, see, Gen Con in some ways is becoming, PopCon is emulating the more modern Gen Con, I think. Because before it was very gaming focused, and it still is, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of other stuff that comes tacked in with Gen Con that is not necessarily gaming. I mean, that heart of that is still there. But I mean, you're talking about 50,000 attendees. Like, there's all kinds of shit to do. You want to go and just watch amateur films the whole time? You can go and watch amateur films the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, you want to go and just play video games the whole time? You can do that. And I feel like PopCon tried to bring that kind of thing. It's just first year, obviously, you can't go up against 40 years of people putting them together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was, well, to put it in perspective, the GH and I, like, all of where PopCon was, including the registration and even past the registration, that was just the vendor booths for Gen Con.
All right.
So.
All right.
But no, so DJ D20, right? So 5-year mission ends their set, and Shy Guy's supposed to come on, DJ Shy Guy. Well, DJ Shy Guy, they come on and they say, because the Star Wars music, it's not quite something, you know, you can kind of, you know, drop the bass on. It wasn't really, you know, dancing music. Different series. But they, so they put on house music and the lights kind of came up and people started milling towards the door. And freaking, you know, Hodor just like jumps in and is like, fuck it, I'm going to play. And so he started dropping some nasty beats until Shy Guy showed up.
Having you say drop some nasty beats just tickles me. I'm sorry.
Like, there's no other way to explain it. Like, he is an incredibly talented DJ. You can tell that it was not like, he's not like, oh, I became Hodor, so now I'm going to do other things because people will like me because I play a character named Hodor. No, Christian Yarn really knows how to be a DJ. And it's a European style, it's house techno, and it was awesome.
No shit.
Yeah. So there you go. Well,
that's fun to know.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts?
Well, let's see. So what, I mean, being a, I mean, I'm not an expert in conventions. I've been to a few more than you. What sort of were your impressions being a relative newcomer to convention life?
Well, I had a great time. I don't like big crowds, and this was open enough that I didn't feel like pressed in.
Mm-hmm.
I had room to breathe. I'm a huge fat guy and I had my backpack on and I barely bumped into people except for Dee from Battlestar. She was coming in the door. Yeah, I maybe more seating. I don't know, but that's probably because of the pinched nerve. Yeah, I found the experience to be whelming, not overwhelming or underwhelming. I was whelmed.
I
didn't hit every booth, but I tried to, and I had a really good time. The only thing I wish is that we would have been able to take pictures with Kevin Eastman. I mean, that's it.
Oh, you didn't take a picture with Kevin Eastman?
On Saturday, you couldn't.
Hmm.
I don't know about Friday, but you couldn't because the con told them not to because there was an event for VIP at 1:30.
I was gonna say because they I don't have a picture of me with Kevin Eastman, but we took some pictures of Kevin Eastman.
Yeah, I wanted to take a picture of him signing it as a kind of a certificate of authenticity, but whatever. Fuck, the book's for me. I don't give a shit.
No, it was and to any other con goers out there, I think some other things I should point out, like I said, the nuts and bolts of it, they definitely had the we talked about the free sketches. We talked about the extra room. All of the panels were free, which very rarely happens at a convention, which I thought was really, really cool.
Well, not all of them. You had to pay to get into Hodgson.
Well, but see, that's the difference. That was a VIP pass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
So what they did, in case anybody doesn't know who's listening, they had VIP passes where – so let's say you were going, but you were a big – we're using Joel Hodgson, a big MST3K fan. I paid $45 for a ticket for 3 days. But if you were, you wanted to hang out with Joel Hodgson, you could pay like $100 and you got all kinds of VIP bonus perks. Plus you get special meet and greets with Joel Hodgson or what have you. And they had one of those for all the guests, which was really cool. I mean, the Red Power Ranger, actually, it's my understanding he had like 6 VIPs and they went, he gave them a martial arts class. And then they went out to dinner, and he paid for everybody's dinner.
Nice. Wow, dinner with a Power Ranger. I can handle that.
Norm Breyfogle had an arts class. I think Kevin Eastman also had an arts class.
Kevin Eastman had one, but you had to have a kid to get in. It was for children.
I think he also had one for VIPs, though.
Well, that'd be fair enough.
And VIPs also got preferential seating for a couple of things. They could get into the con early. So if I go next year, if there's a guest that I'm really interested in, it might be worth the VIP pass.
Or we can create another comic book and do a panel and just go for free.
I am down with that, too.
So that could be a thing.
I'm always down with the creative mojo. It was really cool to see all that.
Yeah.
Cool to see, all those people getting together, talking, nerd talk. I also want to shout out to a new podcast that I'm going to start listening to. Did you see the D&DUI guys?
No.
There are these Canadians who play D&D as a podcast. They record it and play it. But they've modified the rules to include mandatory drinking as part of their game.
Love it.
It was very clever.
If you set something up like that, if you set up a D&DUI game, I will play. I will come over and play. You will help me make a character, and I will play.
Guys from Canada, maybe I'll email you, let you know that we're promoting your show in here. You want some Skype players for a game? You want, like, Matt and I'll sit down here. We'll do shots. We don't care. We're all for it.
You'll throw up, but I'll be fine.
That's true. 2 shots, and I'll be out. I'll be done.
All right, hey, my gnome shot himself in the face. I got to go to bed.
Oh, that's funny shit. No, a definite.
Oh, no, my character shit in my pants.
Oh.
Oh, God, it was me.
You should definitely, we should do a live podcast next year, though. Did you see the podcast stage?
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool. I sat and watched a couple of people record, and that would be awesome. I think that's better than getting a table, actually.
And we're getting a table to record a podcast at the Independent Show in November.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you folks can come see us. It'll be
awesome. We'll just be doing it from our booth. It's not like it'll be an audience, but it'll be fun.
We'll take audience members. We'll take audience questions.
you, sir, in the red hat.
What do you think?
I got lost. I thought this was the bus stop.
Too bad. You're on our game show now.
2 blocks down, sir. On the left. All right. I think that'll probably about do it for this week's brothel. Next week, I think, are we talking about True Detective?
That's definitely a possibility. I think that would be pretty cool to do.
That would be sweet. So we'll get together and record that. We'll bring back our regular shit, movie of the week and what have you been reading and blah, 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 blah. and the Vesses. So if you have an idea for a Versus, I think we want to include Hodor. Who should Hodor fight?
That's a good next question. Next
week, let me know.
Yes. Let us know on Facebook. Get in touch with us. Email us. Whatever. Throw rocks with notes through our windows.
Fuck that.
I'll give my neighbor
in the ass.
Give my neighbor's address instead.
Give him my parents. All right. I guess, again, from here at the brothel, we will see you next week with True Detective. Have a glorious rest of your week. Excelsior.
Bye, everybody.